రమణ ద లైట్ సుప్రీం, రిటర్న్ బై డాక్టర్ టిఎంపి మహాదేవన్. ది ఆర్ద్ర ఆఫ్ మార్గ శీర్ష ఈజ్ అన్ ఆస్పీషియస్ డే ఇన్ ద హిందూ క్యాలెండర్. ఇట్ కమెమరేట్స్ ద విక్టరీ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ శివ ఓవర్ ద డీమన్ అంధక. ద వెరీ నేమ్ అంధక మీన్స్ ద డార్క్, ద బ్లైండ్, అండ్ అంధక స్టాండ్స్ ఫార్ అజ్ఞాన, అవిద్య, దట్ ఈస్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్, నెసియన్స్. ఇట్ వాస్ ఆన్ ది ఆర్ద్ర డే దట్ ద లార్డ్ వ్యాంక్విష్డ్ అంధక ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ దట్ ద వరల్డ్ మే బీ సేవ్డ్, ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ దట్ హ్యుమానిటీ మే సీ ద ఫేస్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్. ద మిత్ ఆఫ్ ది కాంక్వెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ అంధక సిగ్నిఫైస్ ద విక్టరీ ఆఫ్ ద ఫోర్సెస్ ఆఫ్ లైట్ ఓవర్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ డార్క్నెస్, ఆఫ్ విద్య ఓవర్ అవిద్య, ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం గుడ్ ఓవర్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ ఈవిల్. ఆఫ్టర్ కిల్లింగ్ ది డీమన్ ఆఫ్ డార్క్నెస్, ద లార్డ్ డాన్స్ హిస్ కాస్మిక్ డాన్స్ విచ్ వాస్ ది ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఆఫ్ సుప్రీం జాయ్ విచ్ అలోన్ సస్టైన్స్ ది యూనివర్స్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ కమెమరేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ గ్రేట్ ఈవెంట్ that the image of Lord Nataraja is taken out of the temples in procession on the Ardra day. It was in the year 1879, on this auspicious day and moment, when the Nataraja image was being taken into the temple at Tiruchuri, at the conclusion of the procession, that Bhagavan Sri Ramana was born. So it is significant that our Lord chose the most auspicious day, Ardra, for making his advent into this world. To one who has no birth at all, we have assigned a date of birth. To one who has no local habitation, we have given a place. Sri Ramana is the incarnation of Advaita. He is Advaita Vedanta itself, and the truth of Advaita Vedanta remains unaffected by time, space, and causation. In his introduction to the గీతాపదేశ ఆచార్య శంకర స్పీక్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అవతార ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ ఇట్స్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్. ది ఫిలాసఫీ ఆఫ్ అవతార యాజ్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ హియర్ బై శ్రీ శంకర ఈస్ అప్లికబుల్ ఇన్ ద కేస్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ శ్రీ రమణ. ద బ్లెస్డ్ లార్డ్ ఈస్ ఎండోవ్డ్ విత్ ఆల్ ఆస్పీషియస్ క్వాలిటీస్ లైక్ ఎలిమినేషన్, ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్, స్ట్రెంగ్త్, వైటాలిటీ అండ్ స్ప్లెండర్. These qualities are present in him always and not for some time alone. He has under his control Maya or Prakriti, which consists of the three gunas which are responsible for the world manifestation. Through Maya, he seems to be born and to birth a body. Our Bhagavan has no name, no date of birth, but appears to bear a name and to have taken birth because humanity has to be saved by the truth of his being, which is non-dual. He is eternally born and yet unborn. Birthday is an eternal birthday. The story of Thiruvannamalai, that is Arunachala, is itself significant.
Bhagavan did not leave the presence of Arunachala once he had arrived there. Why should he? The world should go to the Guru. There is no need for the Guru to go anywhere. If he went to the world, he would only be misunderstood as Sri Krishna complains. Because I have taken birth as a human being, people do not understand me. On the contrary, they scold me, they abuse me, they revile me. The world can only revile what it does not understand. Even to Arjuna, his own cousin, and dear disciple, the Lord had to reveal his cosmic form in order to make him understand. Arjuna repents for his past behavior and says, out of familiarity and not knowing your greatness, I have called you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O friend, please forgive me for the disrespect I have shown towards you. Because of his easy accessibility, Sri Krishna was not understood by the world. The world seldom understands the Guru who goes to it. It is only when the world has learned to go to the Guru and it will feel inclined to listen to him. Sri Ramana lived in Arunachala, but the world, even the Western world, went to him. How did this happen? Because Bhagavan was the light transcendent, and light does not require advertisement as darkness does. Without any drum beating, without any propaganda, the light of Arunachala has spread far and wide, and it is on that light that we should meditate. We saw before our eyes the brightness of Tatsa Vidurvarenyam Bargho Devasya. If some of us could not see it, it was our fault, not that of the light. And the light has no need of speech. It is only in darkness you require the help of it, speech in order to identify objects. But where there is light and your eyes are all right, you need not be told what is around you. And so for the most part, Bhagavan Ramana kept silent. Silence was his mode of communication. Today, when people all over the world are striving hard to find out new means and methods of communication, communication becomes more and more difficult. But here, the Blessed Lord, seated or reclining on his couch in a corner of the old hall, was communicating not only with those who sat in front of him, but with the devotees in distant continents. Even his speech was of a quality that is far different from the speech that we are accustomed to. It was scarcely distinguishable from silence. Some of us have watched and can recall the grand silent drama that was being enacted constantly in that auspicious hall. People came, strangers came with a long list of questions, but many of them forgot or felt no need to put their questions. Their doubts had been dispelled, their needs fulfilled. The most remarkable feature about Bhagavan's form was his pair of eyes, extremely penetrating and profoundly fascinating. Once you had come within the range of Bhagavan's beaming eyes, there was no need for any other sadhana. Once those eyes had rested upon you, there was no more fear or worry for you. Mr. Humphreys, the very first European to see our master, reports to a magazine in England, "For half an hour, I looked into the Magadhishi's eyes, which never changed their expression of deep contemplation." This was written in 1911. Those of us who met the master much later could testify that those eyes retained their brightness to the lost moment of the master's earthly existence. Bhagavan spoke occasionally. He spoke not for the sake of speaking, as most of us do. He wrote not for the sake of writing, because he was no writer at all. But he spoke and wrote because he wanted to save us. There is a fine sloka in the Sankara Digvijaya, where Mahadevacharya offers obeisance to Dakshinamurti and Sankara. Rising from his seat beneath the banyan tree and breaking his silence, Dakshinamurti, out of compassion for humanity, which is being burnt in the forest fire of samsara, took form as Sankara, who moved about constantly and spoke profusely. The silent Dakshinamurti became the speaking Sankara. The unmoving began to move. Bhagavan Sri Ramana struck a compromise between the silence and stasis of Dakshinamurti and the speech and movement of Sankara, because today we require the message of both achara and chara, mauna and walk. Bhagavan Ramana spoke and wrote in order that we may understand him. The path he has expounded in what he has written and spoken is the same path of light which has come from the ancient sages and seers of the Upanishads. It is the light of jnana which alone can save us. And this is the central message of Sri Bhagavan, the light divine to modern man.